Coming to the last in our sermon series on WPC at the movies, our somewhat shameless attempt to lure you to church on a summer Sunday, but also to think about the things we see in the media and entertainment and think about how do we see them through the lens of faith. And so today, just for fun, we're talking about the movie World War Z, Z as in zombie. It's about the zombie apocalypse. We've all seen this movie, right? Some of us have. Okay. There were like three rows of high school kids at the first service that had seen it. Anyway, because we're talking about the zombie apocalypse, we're going to read from the Apocalypse, which is the Revelation to John, the last book of the New Testament. And early in that book, there are angels of seven churches, and the angels write these words to the church in Sardis. Hear the word of God. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works. You have a name of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is on the point of death, for I have not found your works perfect in the sight of my God. Remember then what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, World War Z is about a world war being fought with zombies. And we're not going to show you photos or film clips from this because it might upset the adults in the audience too much. Actually, this movie is pretty light on the gore, and it's actually got a plot that I found really interesting. It also has one thing that some of you will really enjoy, and that, of course, is Brad Pitt. Come on, some of you like Brad Pitt. I know you do. You just don't want to admit it. Anyway, there's Brad Pitt with his wife and two daughters caught in a normal morning, driving the kids to school in Philadelphia, when suddenly something is going crazy. There is violence in the streets, but not just any kind of violence. People are turning into, they don't even know what to call them. They don't even use the word zombie. But that's what they're doing. They're turning into zombies. And zombies, of course, are the living dead. People who have died and yet somehow are still alive, but not alive in any way that we would get. No longer do they have their personality. Now they're either in some lethargic kind of a trance, or they are violently seeking the demise of any living person. Well, Brad Pitt is the hero of the movie, of course. Okay, thank you for clapping for Brad. An honest woman. Thank you. Brad Pitt is recruited back into his old job with the United Nations. He's actually extracted to safety on an aircraft carrier so that he can be sent out away from his family, whom he loves dearly. He's another wonderful father figure in a series of some pretty good movies with good father figures. Anyway, he's being sent out to North Korea to try to find the first zombie that was infected with this outbreak, so they can possibly maybe get an idea of how they could stop it. So Brad Pitt goes on a worldwide quest, first to Korea, then to Jerusalem, and finally to Wales, to try to find a way to halt this outbreak, all the while, of course, in grave danger of his own life and the lives of those around him. Zombies at every turn. And I will say, zombies, usually in the old movies they were like this. These zombies are not like that. These zombies have speed. Speed. Serious speed. All right, so it's, of course, ridiculous horror story. It's also great fun, I think, if you like this kind of thing. It's great and grand fun. It's suspenseful. It's terrifying. And there are places, occasionally now and then, where it makes you think. But it really isn't terrifying so much, again, for what you see on the screen, as for that feeling that, you know, what would it be like to be in that situation? What would it be like to be surrounded by something you did not know how it was happening, some kind of a mob, some kind of a terror? You have that feeling when you're watching this movie. You have that fear that would come with a modern plague, whatever it might be. So I was thinking about, well, yeah, what do you do with this movie in a sermon? I sort of said like 2 months ago, yeah, maybe I'll do that, and then here we are. Well, I think, what is it about horror movies that we want to see? Why is it that we want to see them? What is it about this kind of a film that makes us want to go? I mean, not too long ago it was werewolves, right? And before that it was, come on, vampires. Thank you, vampires. What is it? What is it that we're so fascinated with this kind of thing? Well, I think at least partly it's an awareness that we all have that there's something more to life than what we see. There's something more to our lives than the physical, than the tangible, than what we can count or measure. And usually that's the realm of, you know, faith and religion to talk about those things, which we do. But always there's been another layer of that, too. There have always been folk stories, fairy tales, and now vampires, werewolves, and most recently, zombies. Everywhere, zombies. So I think it speaks to something within us that says, there's more. I know there's more. I sense that there's another layer of life, the spiritual, the non-visible, that is just as real as what I can see and touch. But even more of that, what about the horror? What is our fascination with horror? Frederick Buechner, novelist, Presbyterian pastor, he wrote this once about that very question. He said, "I suspect that the whole obsession of our time with the monstrous in general, with the occult and the demonic, with exorcism and black magic and the great white shark, is at its heart only the shadow side of our longing for the beatific, for the beautiful, the sacred, the spiritual." And then he goes on to say, "And we are like the knight in Ingmar Bergman's film, The Seventh Seal, who asks a young witch who is about to lose her life. He says, 'I want to meet the devil, your master.' And when she asks him why, the knight replies, 'I want to ask him about God, because he, if anyone, must know.'" There's something about facing up to the difficult, to the terrible things of life that's necessary for us to really, really have a full and complete faith, because that's part of the world we live in. It's beautiful and a wonderful and an amazing world that we live in, but it's got that flip side of terror and loneliness and loss. So something about a horror movie is, I think, the dark side of our longing for what is beautiful, what is sacred, what is eternal. But why zombies? Why zombies? I mean, zombies are everywhere these days. It goes back, the first zombie movie was in the 30s, Bela Lugosi. You know, the guy that played Dracula played the first zombie in a movie. But really, the zombie craze, you could trace it back to the movie The Night of the Living Dead in 1968 that was filmed just outside of Pittsburgh, where we used to live. And one of my minister friends in Pittsburgh, who's now in his 90s, took me out down his block and said, "Night of the Living Dead was filmed right here. The farmhouse was right here." So I have walked the land where that movie, and some days I think it affects me still. On youth group overnights and lock-ins. Anyway, they were slow then, but as I said, they're not slow now, not in World War Z. But just in the recent years, very recent years, zombie movies are everywhere. 28 Days Later, Warm Bodies, I Am Legend, Resident Evil 1, Resident Evil 2, and 3, and 4. And there's a TV show that's a big cult hit that's about to enter its fourth season now, The Walking Dead. It's all about zombies. What is this fascination with the living dead? Well, if Buechner's right, our fascination with them is the flip side of of our longing for the beautiful and the good. But what is it that we're afraid of, that the zombies somehow express? Well, maybe, and you certainly get this from watching World War Z, it's feeling like the world is out of control. The world is out of control. And there are scene after scene where you have that feeling, you're helpless against this plague, this mass of zombies. But you know, that's always been true. The world has always been beyond our ability to control, beyond our ability to manipulate and solve. So I wonder, perhaps there's something more basic even than that. I wonder if a zombie movie speaks to us not so much about our fear of the zombies out there, but our fear of the zombie in here. Not the zombie we might encounter on the street of Philadelphia or Chicago or around the corner or under your bed, but the zombie within. Think about it. Am I going through the motions in my life? Am I just going through the routines? Do I pretty much phone it in? Is it one day after another? Sort of a monotone, sort of gray? Are my eyes dull and lifeless? If you put all that together, maybe the deeper question is, when I come to the end of my days, will I look back and say to myself, have I really lived? Have I really been alive? Irenaeus, one of the early church fathers, said that the glory of God is a human being who is fully alive. Fully alive. But what if we're not? Then are we like the living dead? Would the angel of the church at Sardis say to us, I know your works. I know your name. I know your reputation, that you're alive. But you are dead. You are dead. What if we die before we ever really get around to living? I think that's what's behind our fascination with zombies. What if I, right now, what if I am one of the living, walking dead? If so, then the angel of the church at Sardis, which is a church that was consumed by its own wealth and its own power, being worried about itself. Would the angel of the church at Sardis say to us the same thing that was said to that city, which is basically this: wake up. It said it right there in the scripture. Wake up. Recognize it. Wake up. You know, so often, it's something like that that gets our attention. If you watch this movie, I mean, those people who are fighting to save their families, fighting to save themselves from becoming zombies, they are very much alive in those moments because they know what's at stake. They know that their days could come to an end at any second, and they are powerfully, completely alive, some of them until the very last minute when they become what they have feared, but they're alive. And sometimes that's how it is with us. It takes a crisis. It takes the phone call in the middle of the night, the visit, the unexpected trip to the hospital, for us to really wake up and think about what's at stake. Think about all that's at stake, what we could possibly lose. And then it is, even sometimes in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of a crisis, that's when we really feel fully alive, strangely enough. When everything is at risk, when everything is up for grabs, but boy, we are alive because we are paying attention and we are fighting for our lives. So wake up, he says. And what then? What do you do when you're awake? Well, the angel at Sardis goes on. God goes on to say to the people of Sardis this. He says, what do you do? Remember what you've received and heard and obey and repent. Let's start with repent. What if you wake up and you think, my life is not what it ought to be. I'm headed in the wrong direction. What do you do? Well, repent literally means to turn, to choose a different path. So choose a different path. But what path? Was the word to the angel? Remember what you have received and heard. Remember what you have received and heard. And to us in the church, that means remembering the story of Jesus. Remembering the story of Jesus. Now, if you're one of those folks who's never been sure how to understand Jesus, how do we understand this Son of God, the divine thing, I invite you to set that aside for a minute. If you're one of those folks that have had trouble with miracles, put that over to the side as well. If you're not sure about this, uncomfortable maybe with the whole idea of Christianity being superior to other religions, well, I mean, I am too. Put that aside. Put it aside and just think about Jesus, the life he lived, the path he chose, the path he invites us to follow. Just Jesus as a human being. I mean, he knew that life was a gift, and he treated it that way. I mean, he celebrated at weddings. He drank wine. Sometimes so much they accused him of drinking too much wine. But he went to feasts. He celebrated life. He celebrated people. He honored, respected, celebrated the people, the men and the women and the children with whom he came in contact. He knew what to say and when to say it. He knew that the right word at the right time could be so powerful. And he also knew that there were times not to speak, and that very often actions speak louder than words. He made friends, good friends, and he was loyal to them to the very end. He stood up for people who had no advocate, for the widow, the orphan, the alien, the stranger. He reached out to them and pulled them in to God's circle, constantly challenging all of us to draw the circle wider and wider to include all of God's people, which are all people. And when the time came, he suffered greatly for those whom he loved. He was strong and vulnerable. He wasn't stoic. He wasn't emotionless. He felt the sorrow of others. He felt his own anger at the Romans, at the religious leaders when they abused their power. He was tough. And his love was a tough, strong love that was for all people, all people. Even those who persecuted him. And most of all, I think, the people who wrote about Jesus, the people who said the things they did about him, everything you read, Jesus was someone who was fully alive, fully alive. And when you were with him, you felt that, and you felt alive too. And I think that's why the writers of the Bible talk about Jesus as God, as the seeing the glory of God in him, because he was and is fully alive. So what are zombie movies about? Well, for the most part, I think they're fun. Sometimes gross, but they're fun. But I think they also want us to wake up so that we will not number ourselves among the living dead. And also, I think, so that we will choose the kind of life that Jesus offers us, which is really the only kind of life worth living. Pray with me. Gracious God, your Son Jesus told us that I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. Don't let us miss it. For Christ's sake, for the world's sake, and for our own sakes. Amen. Let's worship God now with our gifts and with wonderful song.